Science Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is July 25th, 2019. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just do not realize that, but we are in that time in the end. And that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. And in an emergency, text my cell phone first. It's at 316-619-4886. Now, you can always find updates with the breaking news, the Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information, all at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Now, remember, folks, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally. It's on YouTube. It's on some FM stations. So pray about supporting airtime. On another note, hey, let's thank our listener base. It's worldwide in places like, well, San Diego, Chile. Hello over there in Chile. You seem to be the first time you've been up in a while. Istanbul, Turkey. Hanoi, Vietnam. Seems funny to be talking to Vietnam. You know, I came out of that era. While I'm not a Vietnam veteran, I have many brothers that were or are. Vienna, Australia, and of course, cities in the good old United States, such as Phoenix, Arizona, Plano, Texas, Portland, Oregon, Anchorage, Northport, Alaska, and New Orleans, Louisiana. This week, though, New Jersey, the United States, of course, is the largest group of listeners to our programs when they podcast later tonight. Sorry, Wichita, you got beat by, of all places, New Jersey. Hello to you folks over there in New Jersey. Anyway, follow us and share us at Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Brant77. Pastor Dan Catlin at Brant77. Now, a prayer. We'll bring on tonight's guest. We'll get into the program. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I really pray radio tonight goes according to your will, not our will, Father. Give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth, Father. So please, in Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, amen and amen. Well, yesterday, there was a thing on TV. I don't know if you all caught it. It was called, it was the Mueller testimony. Well, he talked about his so-called reports, and there's some really interesting things that popped up out of this. And none of it was good for the Democrats, but you wouldn't know that if you went on to the left-wing stations, you know, which is all fake news, really. But you really wouldn't know that. But the point is some very, some would call it disturbing. I call it revealing. And I just, yeah. Well, I'm going to bring Frank Stefan on with us tonight to talk about this. Frank is the founder of AVR, American Voice Radio, of course, and he has his own radio program called The Frank Report. Well, Frank's really just frank about everything, and he'll be frank with us tonight. So are you there with us, Frank?
I am. I just got done with my show.
Yeah. Oh, amen. What did you talk about?
Oh, a bunch of things. I did touch on the Mueller thing, but not in depth. You know, and there's a lot of things that, you know, I have an opinion on the Mueller thing that I didn't get to.
Right. Well, maybe we can get to
it. Yeah, I appreciate being on and talking about this because there's some things I didn't get to. And like you said, you know, I've been doing the same things. You know, I read the liberal. I just don't watch news, okay? I just don't, do not, I don't get my news from video. Because I can't stand watching them. I mean, honestly, that's just it. It's the same reason that I don't mind listening to certain music.
Right.
But when I see the video of them, I don't want to watch it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want nothing to do with it because, you know, seeing them is offensive to me, okay? It's the it's the same with this newscasts, okay? So I have to read them. I can't watch them, or I just can't watch it because I shut it off. I just, it's a gag reaction with me. But I've been reading some of these liberal sites, and, you know, you would think that everything went fine. You know, you would think, ah, yeah, no problem. And I don't blame them for trying to throw a good face on a bad situation. But this backfired about as bad as anything could have backfired. I mean, the only thing Mueller could have done worse for the Democrats is get up there and testify under oath that, oh, and by the way, Hillary Clinton is guilty of murder and treason, and so is Bill Clinton, so is Barack Obama, and so is his whole administrative staff. Yeah, you know, he could have done that to make it worse, but other than that, I don't see how it gets much worse. And then Adam Schiff's his plan is, okay, well, all right, well, the real problem here is the Moscow Trump Tower, which doesn't exist. There is no Trump Tower in Moscow. It was an idea.
Right, right. Well, okay, now let's backpedal. You know, for a moment, well, I ain't backpedaling, but for a moment, one of the things they wanted to do, the left-wing people were trying to say that, okay, maybe no Russian collusion, but that he did obstruct justice. Now, I want to read this for the people because a lot of people won't read, because you've got to, I'm like you, I'm a reader. There's only a couple of guys that'll actually watch the news. By the way, I will watch One American News. I will let that roll. But anyway, then I look at Fox, but, you know, it's really hard. But this one is a statement that everybody needs to know. So, first off, they willing to admit that there was no Russian collusion, but they still had obstruction. They still had obstruction. Listen to this, folks. Robert Mueller ended the obstruction question in the first 30 minutes of the hearing. Georgia Republican Doug Collins, at the top of the hearing, which was expected to last for several hours, asked Mueller at the very top of his exhaustive, invasive probe, was in any way, did the president curtail, stop, or hinder, or by the president or the White House, the probe? Did they obstruct? Mueller says back, he said simply no. N-O. And not any plainer English than that. No, he did not obstruct, and the White House did not obstruct. Back to you.
Well, yeah, but, you know, that would have ended the whole, you know, we just have to ignore that, okay?
Right.
You know, because that's just not going to happen. That's just going to ruin everything. We can't have that. Let's just ignore that. So they did, and they just moved on, and they went on. But there were other things, you know? I mean, it's like, okay, so that's that. There was no obstruction, and collusion is not a crime, okay? So there's really nothing. And there couldn't be okay, here's the trick. What were they doing? They were investigating collusion. Okay?
Right.
That's what they said. That's what they are. They're investigating collusion. But Mueller says there is no, collusion is not an offense. Okay? This is the thing. Who is it here? Is this Jordan? No, Doug Collins, the representative Doug Collins. He's asking Mueller, he says, where is it here? Is this true indeed? Your investigation did not establish that members of the Trump campaign conspired or coordinated with the Russian government in election interference activity. Thank you. Yes, Mueller replied. Okay, so not only did he say no, there was no obstruction, now he's saying that the Trump administration conspired or coordinated with the Russian government? No. In election, no. They didn't. But then he goes on and says, although your report states, okay, because he asks them up here.
Right.
He asks him if collusion and conspiracy are synonymous. He says, although your report states collusion is not a specific offense, and you said that this this morning too, or a term of art in federal criminal law, conspiracy is. In the colloquial context, are collusion and conspiracy essentially synonymous terms? Collins asked Mueller. After asking Collins to repeat the question, which he did, Mueller answered, no. Okay, collusion and conspiracy are not synonymous, and for those of you that went to public school, synonymous means the same. Okay, they are not the same, Mueller said. And then Collins says, if no, on page 180 of volume 1 of your report, you wrote, quote, as defined in legal dictionaries, collusion is largely synonymous with conspiracy, as that crime is set forth in the general federal conspiracy statute. Now, which is it there? He testified under oath that collusion is not conspiracy, but he put in his report that says it is. Did he lie under oath, or is his report a work of fiction? That's the question. I mean, what do you
think? I have an answer. I want to say something. Two things here. Number one, if this would have been the Mueller guys listening to this, Mueller would have been arrested for lying, you know what I'm saying, to Congress. That would have been the first thing. But the second here, and this is one of the most important things that I believe came out, and I'm with a lot of guys, Mueller didn't run his investigation.
Nope.
He put his name on it. This was run by all hate-filled guys towards Trump. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. This is why right before the hearing, he asked, and I did cover this on my show, he asked that, hey, by the way, can you swear in my second-in-command, too, along with me? He's going to testify with me. Well, he wasn't told to testify. Only Mueller was, and they allowed it. The reason they allowed it, because that was the guy who actually wrote the report. Because Mueller didn't even know. Mueller says, okay, and this is just unbelievable. I don't care if he wrote the report or he didn't write the report. Okay, are you alive? You know, that's really all that's necessary here. But he says he doesn't know anything about Fusion GPS.
Yeah.
Really? I know about Fusion GPS. How come he doesn't? You kidding me? You believe that? I don't believe that.
I think he was lying. Surely he was lying. Otherwise, this guy's got to have, even if it wasn't his report and he just signed it, it's hard to believe that he couldn't have heard of Fusion unless maybe this guy is actually suffering from Alzheimer's. But I don't believe that. I believe part of his so-called testimony was an act not to answer things back to you.
Yeah, he goes like this. They've even got the report in front of him, okay? And they told him, okay, fine. He's like, well, why'd you give it? What page are you on? Okay, we're on page 103. You know, volume 2. When you talk about the firm that produced the Steele reporting, the name of that firm that produced that was Fusion GPS. Is that correct? This is in the Mueller report, okay? When he's asked this, he says, I'm not familiar with that. And then, you know, the guy, you know, the congressman says it was. It's not a trick question. It was Fusion GPS. It says so. The congressman then asked whether Mueller was familiar with the owner of Fusion GPS. That's outside my purview. Well, now, wait a minute. Weren't we told that nothing was outside of Mueller's purview? He could investigate Trump for 30 years back and his whole family, anybody's ever talked to? Isn't that what we heard? That, Rosenstein gave him a wide berth. He doesn't have any purview. He can go wherever he wants. That's what we were told, right? Now he says that just even knowing about GPS is not in his purview?
Right.
I think the perjury trapper needs to go to prison for perjury about now.
You would say so, or again, he better come up with a doctor's excuse that says he has Alzheimer's. And I really don't believe that. That's what I'm saying. parts of this you could tell, I believe he didn't write it, but parts of it, I think those answers are fitted to one, a way of evasively not answering the question, because if he would have been familiar with that, then he would have had to answer questions about if he knew it was legitimate. By saying he didn't know, he wasn't familiar with it, he lied his way out of answering the question. What do you think?
Well, I would be digging through memos right about now, and I would be looking for any little slip of paper that Robert Mueller had been given that can be shown that he received it that told him about Fusion GPS, and then I would arrest him for perjury. You know, that's what I would do about him. But, you know, what I think about Robert Mueller in the bigger scheme of things is I think God's taken his mind away from him.
It could very well, and you know what? It could very well be that, because this is the outstanding thing about President Trump and the situation that we're in. You look at this, the more and more we look at it, like I was talking with this fellow in the gym, he was just amazed at how much corruption and so many people were against Trump. And that's why. I mean, you even had Italy against him. You had Australia against him. You had the United Kingdom against him. And what, I think it was the Ukraine against him. And there's possibly other countries. You had the FBI against him. You had the CIA against him. He had all these leftists against it, and he still won. That's the God factor, and that may very well be. And there's a lot of people that have came against Trump, and they have just had disasters befall them back here.
Well, and you know, that whole thing about Italy, a lot of these countries that had communists running their government no longer do. Like Italy's
right.
Been completely flipped over, and the actually the Prime Minister of Italy, he fired everybody in his whole intelligence community, basically, and basically gave Trump all the information that he could get out of his people of what they did exactly. So the Trump administration has a real good idea through the Italians of what actually happened and how these foreign countries were actually working against the United States of America, because whether you like it or not, folks, Donald Trump is the legitimate president of the United States. And if you go against him, you go against the United States of America and the American people, because we voted him in.
Right.
You know, so these are enemy nations, okay? And England is the biggest one, and they always have been. It's always confused me as to why we consider England allies at all or ever have. This was the tyrannical government that we ran away from and killed to get away from. And now we're buds? I don't get it.
Well, they would say a new generation, but let's go.
It's like remarrying your ex-wife, figuring things are going to work out this time. It's crazy.
Ukraine, they also changed governments. And if you've been paying attention to the United Kingdom, they've also changed governments. Theresa May just resigned, and so we have new people in charge. So there's at least three countries that we talked about that have new people in charge.
Yeah, new people with more of a nationalistic point of view. And everybody,
right.
You know, all the communists out there, and, you know, hey, if you're a communist, I mean, look, communists in general should not have any problem with nationalism or globalism. It doesn't matter to a communist. It depends what kind of communist you are, okay? If you are a communist, like Hitler was, I mean, he called himself a socialist, but hey, so what? He's a communist. He's a communist with patience, all right? But
right.
The difference between Hitler's communism and, say, Stalin's communism was Stalin had a worldwide communist revolution in mind, where they were going to go around the world instituting communism within the countries by force. Okay, we're going to come in here, we're going to defeat you, and we're going to institute a communist government. Hitler's idea was more, we're going to be communistic in Germany, and we're going to become so great and powerful, everybody's going to be like us. And if you want to, you know, you want to become, you know, like us, we're going to help you. And yeah, he was going to defeat militarily all of Europe. But he really didn't have, you know, except Russia, that's where he lost his mind, and where I think that's a God thing. I think Hitler turning around and attacking Russia was a God thing making him nuts. Okay? I really do. I truly believe that, because there's no other reason. There's no reason involved. There's nothing. Everybody around him was telling him, don't do that.
Right.
You know, but he went and did it anyway, and it's completely insane. And it completely destroyed Germany. And it was totally against his original plan. What he wanted to do was isolate Russia and starve them into compliance. That's what he wanted to do. But then somehow he lost his mind and decided, nah, we're just gonna go do this. And, well, that was the end of that. And I really do think it's a God thing. When leaders do crazy stuff like that, that you gotta look at it and go, well, now what happened here? And I can't think of any other reason. I mean, people, well, he lost his mind. Well,
right,
okay, but how? Why? Why did he lose his mind? You know, the Bible has got several stories about God taking away people's minds.
Sure, sure. And let's go with this. And he should have known historically that it wasn't going to turn out well, because the same general that defeated Hitler defeated Napoleon. And that general is called General Winter, as they refer to him. It was the Winter that killed him.
Yep.
Back then.
Well, yeah, and it was crazy to, yeah, look, I mean, the Germans were well aware that, you know, the Americans and the British basically were planning, you know, an invasion of the continent. You know, they were going to do, now it ended up being, you know, what, Normandy and all that, but, you know, they didn't know exactly where, but they knew they were planning it. And you think, oh, okay, so the United States is going to attack us over here on the West. I think now is a good time to just start an armed conflict with Russia. Oh, really?
Yeah, exactly. Well, Frank, tell them when they can watch or listen to your radio program, and we'll go take a break and come back.
2 p.m. Pacific and 8 p.m. Pacific, and they're both live shows. If I do them, like last night, I skipped my live show at night, but I did one in the day, but generally speaking, it's 2 p.m. and 8 p.m., except Fridays. I never do an evening show on Fridays.
Right. All right, well, folks, we'll be back in about 4 minutes.
Go away, Pastor Dan will be right back.
Israel, God has chosen Israel. We are told in 1 John 3:4 that sin is the transgression of the law. Yet there are many today who would lead us to believe that certain of the Ten Commandments should be disregarded. Jesus warns, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." The Greek word translated iniquity in the statement, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity," is anomia, which means transgression of or against the law. In 1 John 3:4, the same Greek word is used. Sin is anomia, the transgression of the law. There is only one group of people that call Jesus Lord, those calling themselves Christians. Jesus tells us that there will come a day when many will question, "Have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" It is sad to consider the fact that many will be told, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that transgress my laws." I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Rant Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, we'll get back talking about the Mueller report and some of the some of them comical and some of them very dangerous things that happened with the so-called testimony yesterday. But first, a little bit about the Mission Church. Well, folks, we are in our 20th year of this Wichita Mission Church, and about and everything at that building is really old. But you know, we get the job done. We have one thing that critically makes it work is we have this thing, and it's called a walk-in cooler. It's without the walk-in cooler, it's almost impossible to be able to feed that many people and be able to have eggs on hand and all of the things that we need, because a walk-in cooler is just like a great big icebox. And so in your household, you have to have an icebox big enough for your household, right, folks? Well, imagine that we have to have an icebox that's big enough from anywhere from 60 to 100 people at a time. That's a lot of eggs. That's a lot of this and it's a lot of that. There's a lot of condiments and a lot of big bottles of everything. Well, when we went to the Mission Church this week, Tuesday, the walk-in cooler is out. Now, we're trying to get a repairman over there. But we lost a lot of things. We lost a lot of bread and a lot of foods, stuff. So we really need some help right now. I'm not even sure how much it's going to cost to repair it. I'm hoping to maybe give a praise report later on in the next program, the one that I do an hour from, you know, at 7 p.m. Central. But pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. We could really use your help right now. We're still in the summer slump. We haven't caught up radio. And so help us get out of this summer slump. I know a lot of you folks have already done with your vacations and so forth. So one thing you can do is share these radio programs with others. So the more people that listen, then the more people that, you know, will end up donating and supporting the work we're doing. If you don't want to help us with the homeless and poor, help us with, again, with radio airtime. But right now, we could use some help to get the walk-in cooler fixed, folks, and to replace the food that we lost. So pray about it. Remember, folks, people come in. Why do so many people come to us for help? Well, love is the answer. People come in the door and they're treated as family. They call us mom and dad instead of, you know, they call us Pastor Dan and Sister Linda, but most of the time it's, "Hey, mom, hi, dad." And we set up, you know, they really, really just love us. That's the point. We have no set guidelines like programs. People just walk in the door and ask for what they need. And if we don't have a way to fill the need, we pray it in. This is why even the agencies tell their employees about the Father's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send people to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that really has no budget. We are the very last hope for so many. And we're all responsible to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And their father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart, of course. Now, you can donate online or over the phone or mail a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com, at prophecyhour.com. Again, if you don't wish to help with the homeless and poor, consider a donation for radio airtime. And oh, yeah, my wife's supposed to be on with us, but today she's over there trying, waiting for two different repairmen that we're praying that show up. One of them shows up because they haven't yet. So pray about it. Lift us in prayer. Help if you can. And now we're back with Frank Steffen. Are you there with me, Frank?
I am.
Amen. Yep, that walk-in cooler went out. Now, we had a new, what do you call it, compressor put on about 5 years ago, so I'm praying that it isn't another compressor. But I'm not a heating and air guy, you know what I mean, and I have no idea what it could be. We got a repairman. It's supposed to show up over there today, but he hasn't so far.
Now, it sounds like you called two of them, and neither one has showed up.
Yeah, I called the guy that put the air compressor, or not the air compressor, the compressor, whatever that, I guess you call it coolant compressor, that he put it on 5 years ago. And I called him, and he said, yeah, I'll be over there, just a small service call to tell you what it was. And so we waited a day for that to happen, and he didn't show up. And so then I called another repairman, and he said, yeah, I'll be out there. And so then my wife went over and stayed all night with my 18-year-old, and then he didn't show up. And he said, well, my partner's supposed to show up. And he was supposed to be here there at 9 in the morning today. Well, now they changed it, and he finally called back, and I talked to him. So actually, it's the third repairman, because he referred us to his partner, and he's supposed to show up at 6 o'clock today. And so that's kind of where we're at. And, you know, we got to find out what's wrong before we can, you know, find out what's needed to fix it.
Well, it's a shame that, you know, it's so difficult to find somebody to give money to.
Well,
people are supposed to be in business, and they're going to charge you for fixing this, and they don't show up. That's just, that's bad business, man.
Well, yeah, and in both of these cases, one is a guy that we bought the latter guys are people that were referred to us from the person that we're buying the building from, and so we used him because it would be a little cheaper. And the other one, well, you know, we figured he was already familiar with it.
Yeah.
It would cheaper. Otherwise, they charge like about almost $100 just to come out and barely. Last time we had one out of the phone book come out to check something, it was like almost $200, and they didn't do anything. We ended up fixing it ourselves. And so, yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. But, you know, I'm praying it'll work out. I'm hoping I'll get some good news here after a while after I get off radio, because he's supposed to show up at 6 p.m. Central, and that's in about 34 minutes from now.
It'll be right when you're done.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Anyway, so that's where we're at with the Mission Church. But, you know, it's been faithful, you know.
Let me ask you something, Dan.
It's held up pretty good. It's an old building, but it's held up pretty good. It was just like when we first moved into this place, the heating and air conditioner on the roof, we were told by the electrician that rewired the place, or rather, he donated rewiring the place. He rewired half the building and then just never came back, and my son rewired the other half of the building, but he did rewire the main box and everything. But he told us, he said, that unit on the roof has been shut down over 10 years. There's no way that ancient thing's ever going to work. And I said, you might be surprised at what the Father does. And it cranked up, and that old unit on the roof, it puts out a lot of good air conditioning and a lot of good heat. But, amen. So, yeah, it works. But, you know, without the walk-in cooler, I mean, it's almost impossible to run. I mean, you know, you've got like big gallon jars of pickles or gallon jars of ketchup and mustard and mayonnaise. You know, you can only put so much of that in a little ice box, which we do have a little ice box, but then we have somebody that donates eggs by like 30 dozen at a time. Well, you can't put all that in one little ice box, you know what I mean?
Well, when you're feeding, you know, the amount of people that you feed and have to have the food on hand to do so, you can't do that in a regular... I mean, I suppose you could set up a bank of refrigerators and do it that way, but a walk-in, I think, is actually more probably more efficient than, you know, just getting a wall of refrigerators.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually think the walk-in doesn't take as much as the refrigerator to run, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But regardless, it has a, you know, electric-wise, for this old building and old walk-in, whatever, it's been pretty efficient. So I'm just praying it's something minor. You know, I was told that it could possibly be just the capacitor out on it, not letting it, you know, jump on, and it could very well be. I don't know, but I'm praying today I'll find out anyway.
Well, you probably will find out. Well, if the guy shows up.
Yeah, there's that. If the guy shows up. You know,
Let me ask you something, Dan. I've been thinking about this, and you know, and I've talked to you, and I've told you what I think. But so I'm going to just ask you, without any video or anything like that. But what is your feeling, the general feeling of the people who live on the street and the poor people that you service at the mission? What is their view on Trump and the Democrats and how they're running this against Trump? And, you know, are they sympathetic to the demons, or are they feel bad for Trump, or they don't care, or what?
Well, that's a good question. Part of it is we have them on both sides of the coin. Number one, I don't allow political speech in there, because mainly I don't want to get roped into it, and it does bring heated, you know, discussions, right?
Absolutely.
So I don't allow political speech in there. That, you know, I stomp my foot about it. I said, no political speech. You just get off the property if you want to talk about it. Once in a while, I'll talk with a couple of guys about it when there's not very many people there. But I do know the pull of the people. We even put out our newsletter and put them on the shelf there, and the newsletters are picked right up. And so, but here's the deal. A lot of the homeless have the same problem that many other Americans have, and it's called a news source. And the news sources that they get are mostly liberal, unless they go on a phone or the internet. Because you go someplace like McDonald's, what's McDonald's playing? They're playing CNN,
yep.
And they're playing NBC. And then if they happen to go to the newspaper or go, you know, the local newspaper, it's leftist. So they... It's really hard to find a non-leftist point of view unless you either know the internet, and you know this, unless you know the internet and know what news sites to go to. Well, they don't, but a lot of people see right through it, you know, and I think it's about 50-50, you know, about 50% are, you know, pro-Trump, and the other half are, you know, either leftists or they, you know, just listen to the garbage. Now, I've shocked a couple of them clear out of their chairs by handing. There's a site that when 2019 started, that it lists all of Trump's accomplishments and
right.
List everything that he did, everything he signed, everything he did since he came in, you know. And I handed it this stack of papers to this one guy that is really, really always saying, yeah, Trump's going to get arrested and all this stuff. And he read it. And he was just in dead shock. And he was the guy that told me. He said, well, I said, well, where do you get your news? He said, well, I get it where I can. And I said, well, I'll give you some news. He said, okay. And he got it. And he's just dead shocked. His heart's been changed since then. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
and
yeah.
It's just because, and this is the way society is. It reminds me of George Orwell's 1984. Because in that, the public was brainwashed by public TV, by TV sets up everywhere that blasted their version of the news. And it's the same kind of thing that the people are getting. And it isn't just the homeless. It's most of the nation is getting it, that don't frequent something other than, hey, the local news. You know, you got hardworking Americans that come home. They come home. They worked hard all day. Okay, they want to kick up. They're waiting on their dinner, so they watch 15 or 20 minutes of the local news. And that 15 or 20 minutes, they get a small breakdown of the federal news and a little bit of local. You know what I'm saying? And so that's what they hear. They may go on Facebook, but a lot of them don't do political stuff on Facebook, and they are with whatever group they're in. So they're being brainwashed. They're not being allowed to see.
Well, and what's really sad is that it doesn't take any more effort or time, regardless of what news source you use. Okay, it doesn't take any more effort or time to go to a conservative news source or even a neutral news source. It doesn't take any more effort or time. It's the same turn on the switch, click the mouse. It's the same thing as going to CNN. Okay, you don't have to go through any additional, oh my gosh, you know, all I have to do is click on CNN and I'm there. Well, that's how it is for everybody's website. So it doesn't take any more effort or time. But yet, like everybody, you know, we're all, you know, creatures of habit, and we just get used to doing things our way, and that's the way we do it. And I come home and I flip on the TV to Fox News or CNN, and that's what I do. Right. You know, I never even think about doing anything else, even though anything else would be just as much effort or just as little effort. It doesn't matter. But I don't do it because I don't think about it.
Well, part of the problem is, and I most assuredly agree with that. Part of the problem is number one, you know, a lot of people aren't accessible to Fox News or whatever, but that isn't the point. The point is that they watch those local things I do believe they slowly turned left, just like Hollywood turned left. And so then you have that, then they're listening to Hollywood. I mean, since when does a movie star that runs around naked through half their programs, you know what I mean, have anything to tell me about how I run their life when they can't even run their own, you know what I mean?
Sure, and plus there's the fact that when you turn on your local news, how many of those people, how many of the reporters at that news station, and how many of the anchors were actually, how long have they lived in your local area? A week?
Right.
A month? A day? Where do they come from? San Francisco, New York, where did they go to school? Berkeley? You know, I mean, these are the kind of people being infested into otherwise conservative communities. And that happens all over. It also happens in the public school system. It doesn't matter how conservative your community is, your school district is full of communists.
Yep. Gee, I even did a radio program on that with a guy that wrote a book about it. And it is a communist plot. They said that they would take over the schools and the universities, and they would brainwash your children. Even Hitler said the same thing. Give me your children for a generation, and I'll own the world. I mean, this is a communist. Believe it or not, folks, it is a communist plot. Don't you think, Frank?
No, I know it as a fact. Because I can go look it up and I can look at history. Look, you know what? When you write down and say, okay, listen here, I'm going to write this down. This is everything I want to do. Here's the reasons I want to do it. And then you go and you look through history and go, wow, look at this. They did this, they did this, they did that, they did this, they did this, they did this. You know, what do you say? I told you I was going to do it. I did it. And what, you're going to tell me now I'm dreaming, it's a conspiracy theory, I'm a nutcase, I got a tinfoil hat on because I recognize what's going on, and you're telling me, oh, that's not really happening?
All they got to do is Google the Communist Manifesto, and you can see that it is practically accomplished.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely, man. This country is more socialistic than Nazi Germany was during its time. Seriously.
Right.
You know, but
right.
It's the same setup. You know, because here in America, we've created our corporations, you know, our IG Farben.
Right.
And they're basically co-partners with the government in running everybody's lives.
Right.
And you can't say they're not because, well, that's where the senators at least get all their money. They get them from the corporations because the people don't give them much money because they don't feel represented by them. They don't listen to them. You can never talk to your senator, okay? At very best, you may talk to some 21-year-old intern who ain't even getting paid, okay? You might do that. But you'll never get to talk to your senator unless you're piling him hundreds of thousands of dollars. Okay? And that's just what the corporations do. When they took the states, when they made it that the Senate no longer represents the states of the union, they represented nobody. Because the House of Representatives already represented the people. So when you took away the states' representation, who did the Senate represent? Nobody. Well, guess what? Nature abhors a vacuum, and that vacuum was filled with corporate. Okay? That's who the Senate of the United States of America actually represents. International, multinational corporations. That's right. Not even U.S. corporations just. That's right. Who the Senate represents.
Right. Agreed. Agreed. Yes. If there's our, they talk about foreign interference with our election. The foreign interference has been there for such a long time. And that's, again, that's why rolling this back over, we look at, well, how in, did President Trump become president? Because everything was stacked against him. And you can't tell me these people just misfired. They all thought it was a done deal. Otherwise, there wouldn't be all this, we wouldn't be finding out right now about all this corruption that is throughout the government. We wouldn't be knowing about it. They weren't even blatantly hiding it because they just figured it didn't matter. Hillary was going to take over. That was the plan deal. America was going away. There was going to be no borders. It was going to be globalism to the max. The invasion of refugees was already planned, already started, and then, boom, the father put Trump in. That's what happened. Back to you.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, it's a lot of amazing things that you got to look at and see, gee, I wonder how that happened. You know, Mueller's one of them. I mean, here's a guy as evil and criminal as he is. He was a smart man. He was an articulate man. And, boy, that guy didn't show up yesterday.
Not at all. Not at all.
Something wrong
Not
with that. Something wrong with that boy.
Yeah, something's wrong with that picture for sure. Yeah, it doesn't add up. The only way these things add up is if you put the God factor into it. And, you know, so, and we are, you know, people talk about America being Babylon, and I believe that if we're not, we're as bad as, so to speak, with let alone our histories, whether it's wars or abortions or different things or the corrupt things we did. On a couple of major issues that really matter to the father, we are turning it back. We are actually turning it back about abortion. And, you know, that's pretty amazing. It's quite a fight. But I think, I don't know if we're going to win it or not. I guess it's going to depend on what?
God?
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's what it will depend on. Because, you know, this is what I have found in my own life. And I've mentioned this on the radio a lot of times. And look. Folks, I'm not trying to butt in to your relationship with the Lord. I'm just telling you about my relationship with the Lord. If it applies to you, fine. If it doesn't, it doesn't have to. Because, you know, we each have our own individual personal relationship with the Lord. And that ain't a joke. So what applies to me doesn't always apply to you. You know, although, you know, the rules are all the same for all of us. But how God applies those rules may be different. And with me, I tell you, if I'm just going to sit on the couch and ask for stuff, I generally get nothing, okay?
Right.
If I get out and I start doing something and I'm having a hard time and I hit the wall and I'm just at the end of what I can do, that's when the Lord seems to come and help me.
That's the same with me, Frank. That's the same with me. And, you know, a lot of times when I hit that wall that I can't do anymore, where I switch gears at is that I'll switch gears and I'll try to find others to help or other ministries and try to go on. You know, even though I may be hitting a brick wall on my own, I try to help others. And when I do that, then, you know, it changes. And it's amazing how he allows certain disasters and things to happen. You think, well, that's not a blessing. But it turns out it is indeed the blessing, because that's how certain things are accomplished. And so, yes, everybody's relationship's different, but faith is an action word. If you believe the book, if you believe in him, you are supposed to do your part. You've got to get up and walk in that faith. That's what the mission church is all about. I know I have to get up and go feed people. Sometimes I don't have hardly any gas money, or I just have enough gas in my tank to get there 60 miles. I go anyway, and we had never not fed the people. I've never not gave first aid and so on and so forth. It always works out. But I have to get up and I have to go instead of sitting on the couch and waiting on it to happen.
Imagine this, though. I guess some people may be insulted, but I don't think it's insulting, seeing as how we are the sons of God and created in the Father's image. So, you know, I mean, when you look at God, put yourself in God's position for a second. So here's this guy laying on the couch asking for stuff. Oh, help me with this and help me with that. And, you know, I mean, eventually God's got to ask, help you with what? You're not doing anything. You're just sitting on the couch. You don't need any help. You're sitting on the couch just fine. See, if you're not
right.
If you're not going to do anything, you don't need any help. You get my point? You can sit there and go, I think I need help. I'm thinking about doing this. Well, then think about me helping you. Because I'm not going to help you. Just go ahead and think about me helping you. Because if you're just going to think about doing something, then I'm going to just think about helping you. You know, you got to get up and actually do it. And then you actually need help. Oh, I'm doing something that I'm failing at. I need help. Okay, now you actually do need help. If you're just sitting on the couch thinking about doing something, thinking about failing, well, don't expect any help because you're not doing anything.
That was very well said, Frank. Did you do a lot? Have you been to a seminary or something? How did you figure all that out?
I read the Bible.
Oh, wow, that's a novelty.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, people should read their Bible, and that's another thing that we find out. We wouldn't be in the position that we are in now if people just read their Bibles. They didn't even have to listen to the preacher preaching to them, because there's enough in there that's in plain English that will tell you what's abominations and what you ought to be doing, loving your neighbor, and what that means. And, you know, here's a novelty. You shouldn't lie.
Let me ask you about this. Let's just take the average churchgoer from, let's just say 1775 here in America, right?
Right.
Just not smart people, dumb people, business people, just your average town churchgoers on Sunday. You know, just pick a place and boom, just snag those people up from 1775, just right out of the church. You don't even know who they are or what they, you know, and then plop them down in a Joel Osteen church. How long do you think it would be before they had their ropes in their hand and they were about to go hang him for blasphemy?
Probably before the service even got by the end of the service.
Yeah,
I would guess.
Because
they wouldn't recognize it. It's just like Yeshua. If he walked into, or Jesus, whichever the case may be for whoever, if they walked into the church nowadays, I don't even think he'd walk into them, because in most large churches, there's so many things that are just not biblical, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is, my point isn't that they would be like that because they've just got such fine preaching in 1775, which they probably did. But they probably did because they would not tolerate anything less. Because when these people went home, they read their Bibles. Okay? They knew what was in that Bible. They were going to church to be encouraged about stuff they already knew. Hang out together, rejoice, and be encouraged. That's what church is about, okay? That's why you don't bring the abominations into the sanctuary. You want to turn them around and bring them to Christ? Do it on the street. They don't belong in the sanctuary. That's for the believers to rejoice and be together. And the thing is, these people knew what was in that Bible, and the people going into the churches today don't.
Amen. Thanks for being on, Frank. We got to go.
Thanks, Dan.
Producer might get upset. Anyway, folks, remember, there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins, and he rose 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And only through him is the way to the Father. Remember, always be a blessing to others. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that, Father, you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for the Messiah's Branch.
Food prices going up, homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com. Or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.